verses 32 to 39. Mark chapter 1, 32 to 39. And that even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Let us come before the Lord in prayer.
Over the period of 62 years, I preached a lot of sermons in this congregation. Many of them are printed in Bible Helps. I very seldom have been assigned a topic, but this morning is an exception, primarily because the ministry team is planning to emphasize some of the statements, the practices, the beliefs that are listed in our congregational directory. And I've been asked to speak really on six words at the very top of page 2, which says that our congregation emphasizes daily devotion for the individual. One of the important aspects of living a godly life, one of the things that helps us more than many other practices or habits, is the matter of engaging in meaningful, personal, daily devotions. The word devotion in our directory really speaks of the broader aspect of godly living. And after the Sunday school lesson this morning from 2 Peter 3, especially verse 11, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conduct and godliness? Those words, in light of all that's coming, as the Lord brings this world to its conclusion, those words should alert us to avoid sloppy and careless living. And one of the practices that will help us more than many other practices is to engage in meaningful, daily, personal devotions. Every Christian should aim to stay in top spiritual condition. And one of the ways to do that, again, is to form the habit of meaningful, daily, personal devotions. The practice of daily devotions goes by a number of names. Some call it manna in the morning. Sometimes it's called the daily watch or the quiet time, or personal devotions or individual worship. There are some helpful pointers to keep in mind, and we like to look at them this morning. We look first at the need for daily nourishment, then the benefits, and then we take a look at the agenda, what it is that makes up good daily devotions, and then hindrances to the practice of daily personal devotions. First, the need. In Mark's gospel that was read a few minutes ago, we read that the Lord Jesus, a long while before daylight, went out to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Mark 1, verse 35. If Jesus, the eternal Son of God, felt the need to rise early and pray, who are we to carelessly neglect this important activity of getting along with God and seeking His face at the beginning of each new day? Abraham, Moses, Jacob, Job, Daniel, all of these met God early in the morning. Genesis 19, verse 27. And Abraham arose early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Genesis 28, 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and consecrated an altar before the Lord. Exodus 34 and verse 4 says, then Moses rose up early in the morning, and went out. Verse 5 says, he went to Mount Sinai, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. The Bible says that Job, in chapter 1, verse 5, rose early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and interceded in behalf of his children. David, Psalm 5, verse 3, O Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee. Some of the most noted Christian leaders down through the years practice the daily morning watch. Martin Luther said, if I fail to spend time in devotions each morning, the devil seems to get the victory during the day. John Wesley went to bed early each night. Generally, he arose at 4 o'clock in the morning, if you read his autobiography. And then he spent 2 hours in prayer and Bible study each morning. J. Hudson Taylor often slept in crowded inns. As he went from place to place, sharing, preaching the gospel in China. And often he was in a room with other travelers, but he would awake early in the morning, light his candle, and read the Bible and pray. Oswald J. Smith, one of our favorite writers, a pastor in Toronto, Ontario, says, for over 60 years, I have now observed a morning watch, and because I meet God in the morning, I often solve problems before they arise. Going without breakfast is a poor habit, but going without a spiritual breakfast is indeed a bad way to start the day. Finding quiet moments at the beginning of each day requires discipline, but it pays rich rewards. Some people prefer devotional time at another part of the day. And these examples that I gave are not really, I don't think the scripture literally commands the daily watch in the morning, but the examples of those who were walking close to God are people who practice the daily devotions in the morning. At any rate, there often are less interruptions in the morning, and so it's a good practice to do it in the morning. However, we read in Genesis about Isaac, who the Bible says went out into the field to meditate in the evening. Genesis 24:63. Again, it depends on our bodily institution, our constitution, I mean, and perhaps on the kind of job, the schedule that we keep. When it comes to getting up in the morning, some people are different. I've heard some say already that when it comes to getting up in the morning, some are leapers and others are creepers. Some people have trouble getting out of bed early in the morning and they just finally creep their way out of bed. Others get up and generally don't even need an alarm clock. The person who works from 3 to 11 will likely have his daily devotions closer to noontime. The morning, however, once again, usually provides the fewest interruptions. The important thing, though, may not be so much the time of the day as a matter of setting a time and sticking to that time every day. All of us need time to refuel and to collect our thoughts and to set the pace for the day. The need for daily devotions. And we need to practice the daily devotional time in order to increase our level of loyalty and devotion to God and to avoid being sloppy in our attempts to walk in those ways that are pleasing to Him. We want to look at the benefits. There are several clear benefits that come from developing the practice of daily time for meditation, Bible reading, and prayer. One of those is that time out with God strengthens the soul. When the enemy during the day draws near to the castle of your heart, he finds it better fortified against his attacks if you have developed a habit of meeting God in the morning. Our time with God in the morning will influence our attitudes, our actions later on during the day. For example, the man who speaks harshly with his wife already at breakfast time very likely has neglected the quiet time in the morning. Time out with God, however, not only strengthens the soul, it also calms the spirit. Daily devotions can provide an island of calm in the midst of an ocean of stress. Most of us know what it's like to have a variety of stressful things in life. On a number of occasions, the psalmist David started out in anguish, and after meditating on the character of God, he ended with a note of joy. For example, in the third psalm, read that this afternoon if you are willing to take the time. In the example of the third psalm, David starts out, "Lord, how many are those who trouble me, they that rise up against me?" And then in verse 3, he says, "My thought, I meditated on the character of God, but thou, O Lord, are a shelter unto me." And then in verse 8, he says, ending with a note of rejoicing, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." And the stress seems to have been lifted. God has promised to keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on Him. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. The morning watch, a very, very important activity. One poet kind of humorously says, "We mutter, we sputter, we fume and we spurt, we mumble and grumble and our feelings get hurt. We can't understand things, our vision grows dim, when all that we need is a moment with Him." William Leon Phelps was noted for many years as the favorite professor, college professor in America. For a number of years, he was the president of Yale University in Connecticut. He made this observation, and I'm quoting William Leon Phelps. He says, "I thoroughly believe in a university education for both men and women." I'm not sure I agree with that, but he continued, "But I believe that the knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than having a college education without the Bible." That's a powerful statement from a man who headed up a college education. Well, the need for daily devotions, the benefits of daily devotion, strengthens the soul, calms the spirit. Let's look at the agenda for the quiet time. The organization known as the Navigators, it's a ministry to college-age students. They publish a small booklet. It's entitled, "How to Plan a Daily Morning Watch." And they recommend developing a period of daily devotions, maybe 15, 20, even 30 minutes long. But in order to encourage people who don't do it to get started without becoming discouraged, they have a plan called the Daily 7-Up. They have in there the teaching that maybe 5 minutes is too short, 10 minutes is too long for some people that are not used to the habit of reading the scriptures every day. So they recommend at least for a start to develop day after day, without skipping days, a daily 7-Up. The first minute, they recommend using it for preparing the heart, thanking God for the night's rest, and thanking the Lord for sustaining us through the dark hours of the night, and thanking him for waking us to see the light of a new day, the first minute. The next 5 or 6 minutes for carefully reading a portion of the scriptures. And there I recommend, if you're not doing a daily morning devotional period, just start with the book of Mark. It's a quick, short, fast-moving account of the life and ministry of Jesus. I recommend not starting with Genesis or with Matthew, because they're longer, they're more detailed. Starting with the book of Mark is a good way to start if you're not in the habit of daily personal devotions. Later, move on to John and to the Acts, to the epistles, to some of the Old Testament books, especially the book of Proverbs and the Psalm. And then the final minutes of that daily 7-Up can be spent in prayer, and more about that in just a little bit. Now, the quiet hour includes Bible reading, meditation, and prayer. First of all, Bible reading. It's signed on a church building. Actually, it was on the bulletin board. Said, "Fight truth decay. Read the Bible." The Bible's spiritual food. It's likened to milk and to bread and to meat in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 15 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." The scriptures are spiritual food. It's important in reading the Bible to develop a systematic plan. At least a few times in your life, I would hope that you set out to read after you develop a daily morning watch, that 7-minute period, if you really establish it, and you become addicted to it, and that's what we need to do, become addicted to daily having a morning watch or an afternoon watch, whenever the time is for you that fits your schedule best. At least a few times, I hope that you will set out to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You know how long it takes an average reader? 77 hours. Now, there are 8,760 hours in a year. If you read the whole Bible through, you can do it by reading three chapters a day and five on Sunday. You still have 8,683 hours to do those other things that you need to do out of the 8,760. It takes the average reader 77 hours. Another systematic approach for reading the Bible is just to focus in one Bible book. I used to read the Bible through each year. But what I found myself doing was reading those five chapters, and that takes longer than 7 minutes, by the way. But I found myself reading those five chapters each morning, three chapters each morning and five on Sunday, and I was rushing through them just to get them done. And so instead, I find it more helpful to have a systematic approach for reading a Bible book. Right now I'm reading the book of Job. I'm sorry, I'm almost 84 years old, and I'm messed up sometimes with my slow thinking. I'm reading the book of James this month over and over again because it's part of the Sunday school lessons in those churches that use the uniform lessons. And to read it over and over again, slowly, carefully, using some Bible study tools, I think becomes even more useful than trying to rush through three chapters every day and five chapters on Sunday. So one of the Bible study tools and the idea of reading the Bible carefully is to absorb the teachings, not just to be able to say, well, I've read so many chapters, or I read this portion of Scripture, but to try and absorb the teachings. And so to have a Bible dictionary in hand is very important. It's good for you to have a Bible dictionary. Nelson's new illustrated Bible dictionary is a good one. There are some like Smith's Bible dictionary and others where you have every major word and every name that's mentioned in the Bible, and you have the scriptures that are related to it. And to take a look at some of the words that are in the text that you're reading today in a Bible dictionary is extremely helpful. You find scriptures that speak of Caiaphas, of the Pharisees, the village of Bethany, of baptism, and so forth, all of those put together in separate paragraphs. Another is to have a Bible handbook. Halley's Bible Handbook, I'm sure some of you have that, or the New Honors Bible Handbook, or there's a yellow book that I've written called A Survey of the Whole Bible, of all 66 books of the Bible. Reading that digest briefly before you read the chapters of the Bible helps set the lay of the land and enables the reader to generally get a little better grasp of what's being taught in the passage that you read. I think it's helpful sometimes to use a translation other than the King James Version. I recommend the New King James Version, the New American Standard Bible, for updated grammar and for a smoother flow of thought. It's helpful sometimes to use even some of the paraphrases, which are not word-for-word translations, but it helps with a smoother flow of thought to get the gist of what's being taught. The paraphrase, like the Living Bible and the New Living Translation, should not be used to come to doctrinal conclusions, because those translations or those paraphrases have room for allowing the writer to express the thought in more words than are in the original text of the Bible. Priscilla and I have our daily family devotions using the New Living Translation, and it's been a great blessing for us to do that. Some have concern about using the newer translations of the Bible, and that's proper to have a concern lest one use them carelessly. But I'm convinced there's a much bigger problem. And the much bigger problem than using the newer translations is that too many of us are not reading and memorizing and studying and underlining the Word of God in any translation. And so it's important that we develop the careful reading of Scripture. And for some people, the use of one of the translations that I mentioned can become helpful in better absorbing the message of the Bible. So the quiet time includes Bible reading. It also includes meditation, which means to ponder, to weigh. It's speaking of reflection, contemplation, study. To meditate means to give careful thought to a particular issue. Meditation has always been considered a very central part of Christian devotion. Meditation is the activity of calling to mind, thinking things over. Meditation, in a sense, is something like a hen sitting on the eggs to keep them warm until they hatch. Meditation is thinking long and soberly, thinking about God's law and God's redemption and God's guidance and His sovereignty, His control over the affairs of earth. It's easy for us to hear sermons, participate in Bible study groups, mark our Bibles and take notes, and then rush off to something else without meditating carefully on what we have been reading. Whether we like it or not, it takes time to be holy. It takes time to digest the Word of God. Meditation is one of the keys which enables us to take what we learn and apply it in our daily life. The quiet time also not only involves Bible reading and simple meditation, but also alert prayer. If you once start reading the Bible on a regular basis, you'll find yourself breathing prayer as you read. For example, if you're reading 1 Corinthians 13, I take an easy example. You read it verse by verse, so you come to that portion that says, love is not easily provoked. And you remember the burning resentment that you felt recently when someone crossed your path. Pause and pray. And ask God to help you control your mouth and to dry up the very wells of resentment deep down inside. After God has spoken to us through His Word, we should be ready to speak to Him in prayer. And our prayers should be specific, not just, oh God, bless so and so. It's good to begin prayer by confessing our own sins, cheap motives. Do you have some? Unlovely thoughts, poor habits. Tell Him how much you love Him. Thank Him for what He's done. Lay out your needs before Him. Intercede for those who have special burdens. And then ask the Lord to guide you throughout the day. Remember that when we come to the Lord in prayer, He's not bored when we come to Him in prayer. He doesn't say, oh, there He is again. The Scripture says in Hebrews 4 that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace. And in Philippians 4, the Bible says that we're to let our requests be made known to God. The Lord wants us to pray. So there's the need, there are the benefits. The agenda includes Bible reading, simple meditation, and alert prayer. The final thing we'd like to look at is hindrances to daily devotions. It's much easier to do other things than it is to spend time alone with God on a daily basis without skipping days. The word watch in Colossians 4, verse 2, one of the first hindrances is failure to concentrate. And Colossians 4, verse 2 gives us some help. It says we are to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That word watch means, in the original, the connotation of the word carries with it the meaning of being alert, to guard against wandering thoughts. And yet most of us, while observing our daily quiet time, Bible reading and prayer, have tendencies to be distracted, thinking about other things that lie before us. For me, there's always a lesson to prepare, a sermon to get ready, a letter to write. For others, it might be snow to shovel, or a tax report to get ready, or children who need attention, or meals to prepare, or laundry to be done. These concerns flood our minds. But remember, this is a spiritual battle. If you have trouble with that, it's not necessarily a personal weakness. I have problems with concentration during daily personal devotions. And I love to read, and I love to study, and I can sit at a desk and read a book for hours and feel comfortable doing it. But when I try to carefully observe this daily watch, there are times when I'm distracted. I'm convinced that it's because the devil doesn't like it. And I'm convinced that God's enemy will do whatever he can to distract you and me while we're trying to diligently observe the daily watch. So there's nothing necessarily wrong with you if that happens. It's just that the devil would love to ruin your devotional life. He would love it. Because as I said in the OnStar, one of the ways to really live a devoted, loyal life to the Lord is to practice daily family devotions. And one of the most vicious attacks the devil will ever make in your life will be leveled at your quiet time. So I'm not here scolding. I'm here reminding us that we have to pay close attention. We are to read the scriptures. We are to engage in prayer. And we are to watch in the same with thanksgiving. Be alert. Sometimes it helps to read and pray aloud. I walk each morning at 6. And I do much of my praying while walking. That seems to be less distracting than praying on my knees in front of a chair or even sitting at my desk. Sometimes I find it helpful to pray aloud. It's also helpful to keep a prayer list, a list of those persons and events that you want to remember in prayer, because our minds are indeed inclined to forget. Well, one of the hindrances to effective daily devotions is failure to concentrate. Another is a lack of discipline. One of the greatest hindrances is simply a failure to establish a systematic approach. The point is, have a set time, a quiet place, and stick with it. And after you do it often enough, and even sometimes almost force yourself to do it, it becomes a habit that eventually becomes an addiction, but it's a wholesome addiction. There's a young man, I've told you this before, a young man who had trouble observing the daily devotions that he was encouraged to observe. George Mueller, Bristol, England, the orphanages that he established. He encouraged young men and women to practice daily devotions. One young man came to him one time and said, "Pray for me. I have trouble getting up in the morning." He must have been a creeper instead of a leaper. And George Mueller said, "Well, I'll tell you what. if you'll promise to get one leg out of bed, I'll pray to the Lord that he'll help you get the other leg out. All that it takes, really, is a good Bible, an alarm clock that works, and a will to engage in the practice. Finally, there's the rush to serve as a hindrance. I'm talking about hindrances to daily personal devotion. One of them is failure to concentrate. Another is a lack of discipline. A third is the rush to serve. Oswald Chambers says that one of the biggest enemies of devotion to Christ is service for Christ. When the disciple of Christ becomes excessively busy in his work for the Lord, sometimes he tends to neglect his own inner spiritual life and becomes easy prey for temptation. Most of us are interested in doing helpful things for others, making scrapbooks and sending cards and preparing a warm meal and cutting firewood, helping to clean up areas ruined by disaster, going to rescue missions and helping with services, all that kind of thing, wonderful things that need to be done. On the other hand, it's very important that we do not neglect our own daily devotions. We must not neglect our personal devotional life just because we're involved in a lot of service ministries of the church. It doesn't matter how faithful you attend Sunday morning church services, or how often you keep the ordinances, or how many seminars and Bible conferences and prayer meetings and revival meetings you attend. If you fail to observe regular, daily, systematic devotional periods, your growth, your spiritual growth, it's going to be hindered, because it's one of the means by which we grow and become more like the Lord Jesus, who arose early in the morning and sought a solitary place, and there he prayed. The practice of observing daily family, our daily personal devotions, more than any other habit, will make you the kind of person you really, as a Christian, want to be. It needs to be developed. In these days when most people about us, even in our churches, are being entertained by watching television, looking at videos, playing around with computers, and not having time to read carefully, to meditate simply, and to pray with alertness, talking to the Lord. Will you make a pledge this morning? I had a notion to make copies of this, but you can just listen to it. God helping me, I resolve to spend at least 7 minutes each day in private, personal devotions before God. God helping me, I resolve to spend at least 7 minutes at about the same time each day in personal devotions before God. Write the sentence on a sheet of paper. Sign your name under it. And then set out to diligently practice it.
I'm wondering what your reaction or response is to the message this morning. I suspect that there are some who don't quite understand yet what it is that Brother Harold has been talking about. And you think about the practice of daily personal devotions, and it seems like a burden to you. But it's not. It is such a blessing as you cultivate that habit. Others of you may be frustrated, and especially for those of you mothers who have several little children, you know how difficult it is to find that time. And just, I would encourage you to persevere, keep trying. If you have to find your 7 minutes during the day in 1 minute increments, do that, but keep doing it. Others of you may be convicted at this time. You know the Spirit is prompting you, and you know that you haven't been regular in your personal devotions. You haven't taken that time seriously. You've looked at it as a burden and not a blessing. And I would encourage each of us, just do a little more than we are, and then a little more after that, and continue to grow in this habit. God will meet us there, and He will bless us there. Let's please stand for closing prayer.